We have a very beautiful Lord's Day, and we appreciate your presence very much. It's good to see the visitors. We welcome you, and we're happy that you're here this morning. I'd like to study this morning on the subject, the Christian home, the sanctity of marriage. In Hebrews 13 and verse 4, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. And so marriage is an honorable thing. It's a good thing, a great thing. I know myself, if I had not married, probably a lonely old man at this time. But I'm thankful that I married a faithful wife. We have 4 children, 10 grandchildren, and almost 6 great-grandchildren. And so I'm happy and thankful that I've married and married a Christian. I'm sure that many of you have good marriages, and we appreciate that very much. But God will judge the fornicators and the adulterers. That is, they're going to be punished in the day of judgment if they continue in that condition. Marriage as an institution is struggling. We know that many today are seeking to redefine what constitutes a marriage. We hear of the same-sex marriages. New York recently passed a new law that men and women could marry in the same sex. I'm sure that in the near future that almost every state will pass a law where men can marry men and women can marry women. And several years ago, we never thought that something like that would happen. I wouldn't be surprised in the future if they don't allow animals to start marrying, dogs and cats and horses and cows and things of that nature. Men will stoop to those things. Some are already baptizing animals. There's this open marriages, group marriages, men and women having sex together with others other than their partners, their wife or their husband. Polygamy, having more than one wife or one husband. We know recently a man was tried and prosecuted. He had many wives, and he had children by very young girls, about 14 years old, and I think that he's going to have to go to prison probably for the rest of his life. Joseph Smith, the Mormons, practiced polygamy. And this certainly is not in harmony with God's word. Others decry marriage altogether, preferring simple cohabitation. And so there's many thousands upon thousands that are living together without marriage. They think marriage is nothing more than a piece of paper. We know that many joke about marriage. One said, marriage is a wonderful institution, but who would want to live in an institution? Of course, marriage is a very serious thing. It's not something we can joke about. The family as an institution today is struggling. Husbands and wives often suffer strained relationships. Husbands and wives fussing, arguing all the time with one another. They can't get along. Parents and children are frequently at odds with one another. Today, many of the children are bossing the parents and telling the parents what to do and what not to do. This is not in harmony with God's word. Much misery in life is due to the dysfunctional family relations. So many families today are dysfunctional. Actually, the normal family today is probably not normal because there's more dysfunctional families than are normal families. Some prefer that government assume the role of raising children. They want to pass their children off to someone else to raise. They don't want to take the time to raise their own children. I believe much of the problem is due to self-centeredness in our society. Selfishness is why there's so much problem in the home and the families today. All people think about is themselves. They're not concerned about the wife or the children. People are told to look out for number one in all relations when it comes to business or to family. They're self-centered. All they think about is themselves. Yes, they need to think about what it's going to do to their family when a man is unfaithful to his wife, how that will no doubt lead to divorce, destroying the home. Thus, many enter marriage and start families with selfish attitudes. Yet no relationship can exist peacefully and lovingly with selfish precipitant. The Bible has much to say about marriage and the family, especially in the teachings of Jesus and his apostles. Jesus teaches us how marriage should be, how the home should be. That has helped many to have a long-lasting, fulfilling relationship when we follow the teachings of Jesus Christ and the words of his apostles, which can affect both our temporal and eternal happiness. Yes, here on earth, if we want to be happy, then we need to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. If we neglect to follow him and his word, we're certainly not going to have a home or family as God would have it to be. In this series of lessons, we will consider what Jesus and his apostles taught concerning the Christian home. This lesson this morning is on the sanctity of marriage. The sanctity of marriage defined. The meaning of sanctity is defined as the quality of being holy or sacred. Yes, the home, the family, is holy. It is sacred when we follow God's rules and his way. This is common. It is common to speak of holy matrimony, sacred marriages. It wasn't man that created marriage or started marriage, it was God, and is to be holy and sacred. The sacredness of marriage. Marriage is one of the holiest of relations between two people. Marriage is a bond created by God himself. Thus, we must treat it as sacred. God is the one who started marriage. Marriage is not something to be entered into lightly. Yes, before a person marries, they need to think seriously about the person they're marrying, about their life, their future. It's not something that we can take lightly. We know that there are those today that they go out and they get drunk one night and they end up marrying that person. They don't even know the person that they are marrying. And that's why there's so many divorces today. What God's word tells us about the sanctity of marriage. Marriage was instituted by God from the very beginning, following the creation. Yes, God created the man, Adam and Eve, to be his wife. In Matthew 19, verses 3 and 4, the Pharisees also came to him, testing him, saying to him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?" And he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female?" Yes, in the beginning, Jesus said, God made them male and female. Adam and Eve, one man and one woman, husband and wife. We know that under the law of Moses, they practice divorce for any cause. In Genesis 2, verse 18, beginning, says, "The Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And so God saw that it was not good for a man to be alone, so he created Eve. He put Adam to sleep and took a rib from his side and created the woman to be with him, husband and wife. And he said, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they'll become one flesh. God designed marriage for those created as male and female, whose union becomes one flesh. Yes, they produce children. They become one. In Matthew 19, verses 4 and 5, and he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And so we see here that when a man and woman are married, they become one flesh and they produce children. Marriage is not a creation of the state, but of God himself. Marriage is regulated by Jesus. Jesus has been given all authority, and he'll be the judge of all things. Yes, in Matthew 28 and verse 18, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And so Jesus has the authority. He has the power to tell us what he wants us to do. But also he will judge us in the judgment day. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And so he has the right to command us how we're to live in this life. And we're going to face him in the judgment to give an account for the life that we live. Jesus taught that man may try to put asunder marriage, but only God has that right to put it asunder, not man. In Matthew 19, verse 6 through 9, says, wherefore they're no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And they say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffer you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. And so what God has joined together, man has no right to put asunder, to separate. Yes, when you're married, it is for life. Until death do you part. God allows divorce only for fornication and remarriage by the innocent party. Yes, if a man commits adultery, and the wife has the right, if she's innocent, to put him away. According to Jesus, there's one exception. The innocent party can marry again. The guilty party cannot. In Matthew 19 and 9, I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. And so we see the danger of divorcing and remarriage, especially if you don't have the cause of fornication. In Matthew 5, verse 31 and 32, hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. Whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. And so here we see the law that Jesus has laid down for divorce and remarriage. Jesus taught some might have to remain unmarried, that is, make themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Yes, if a man has committed adultery against his wife and then a divorce, he has no right to marry again. And he may have to live as a eunuch, that is, without the sex. In Matthew 19, verse 11 and 12, But he said unto them, All men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb. There are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. Yes, perhaps because they have been divorced for adultery, it's unlawful for them to marry again. And then they must make themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Paul had more to say concerning marriage. Marriage, he said, is for life. In Romans 7, verses 1 through 4, Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. The law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. The woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. And so the Apostle Paul says, A woman that hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. Paul said that each person is to have their own spouse, their own husband, their own wife. In 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 2, Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, let every woman have her own husband. And so this is God's law, this is God's rule that we must live by. Husbands and wives have certain duties toward one another. They're to be faithful to one another. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 3 through 5, Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. Likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. And come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. And so we see the husband and the wife have certain duties, responsibilities toward one another. One is not to divorce. If divorced, they must remain single or return to their spouse. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 10 and 11, Unto the married I command you, command, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband, but if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. Let not the husband put away his wife. And so if a man and woman, they decide they're going to get divorced, certainly this is not pleasing to God. But he says they must remain unmarried. Jesus as Lord over all, is final authority regarding marriage. Marriage is reserved for intimacy. The only proper relationship for sexual intimacy is intercourse is marriage. In Hebrews 13 and 4, marriage is honorable among all, the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Person is not to have sex before the wedding, not during courtship, but only after the wedding. The only time person is to have sex is after marriage. Sex outside of marriage is fornication. And of course, fornication will condemn us. Fornication includes premarital sex, extramarital sex, or same-sex relations. Such conduct will keep one out of the kingdom of heaven. Adulterers, fornicators cannot go to heaven, be cast into hell. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10, Do not you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And so those who practice these things cannot go to heaven. And so we need to respect Jesus and his word. Sex outside marriage is not without physical and psychological consequences. Even casual hookups deeply affect the brain and our emotions. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 16, Paul says, "Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two," he says, "shall become one flesh." And so a person must not have sexual relationships with a harlot or prostitutes. Sexual diseases are passed on to one another, which can lead to death. Many receive AIDS because of their sexual relationships, men with men and women with women, leading to the increase of depression and suicide when there is no marriage. 25.3% of sexually active teenage girls experience depression, compared to 7.7% sexually abstinent girls. 14.3% of sexually active girls attempt suicide, compared to 5.1% of virgin peers. Premarital sex endangers having a successful marriage. The national divorce rate in the United States is probably over 50% now. Couples who wait to have sex under marriage and remain faithful have a divorce rate of only 20%. Couples who have more sexual partners prior or outside of marriage have a much higher rate of divorce. A successful marriage requires mutual respect and trust. Courtship is a time to build respect and trust, which will strengthen your marriage. And so it's very careful, the person that you date, that you go with, that you're courting with, that they're the type of person that you want to marry. Don't just go out here and date anyone that comes along. If your potential spouse will sin with you before you marry, what assurance do you have that they will not sin again after you marry? Chances are, if they were unfaithful before, they will be after you're married. The sanctity of marriage is preserved when it alone is the realm of sexual intimacy. The Ten Commandments of Successful Marriage. Judge Joseph Sabbath said, "Bear and forbear." That is, bear with your husband or your wife. Have patience with them. Work together. Play together. Grow up together. Avoid the little quarrels, and the big ones will take care of themselves. Compromise, give and take. It's the antitoxin of divorce. Practice sympathy, good humor, and mutual understanding. Don't grouch before breakfast or after it. Respect your in-laws, but don't criticize them or take criticism from them. Establish your own home, even in a one-room flat. Fight for each other and not with each other. Build your home on religious faith with love and forgiveness as the watchword. The judge predicted that these rules could prevent at least 90% of divorces. In conclusion, marriage is not an institution created and designed by man or the state. Marriage is not subject to the alterations by societal whims. Marriage is a sacred institution instituted by God in the beginning. Marriage is regulated by Jesus, the apostles, and the Word of God. Marriage is reserved for sexual intimacy between husband and wife. Marriage is a successful institution when we follow the Word of God, when members of the family fulfill their proper roles. In our next lesson, we'll study the duties of the husband. Then we'll study the duties of the wife and other lessons concerning the home. And so marriage is very important, and we need to be careful who we marry, the kind of person that you date. And then husbands and wives are to love one another and be faithful to one another, that you might have a happy home as God intended for it to be. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, Jesus invites you to come. He wants you to be saved. Jesus wants you to go to heaven. He died on the cross for your sins. You must have faith in God, believe that He is. Repent of your sins. Turn away from your sins. Confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then be baptized to wash away your sins. The blood of Christ will cleanse you from all your sins in baptism. The Lord will add you to His church. And then be faithful, living the Christian life, and heaven will be your home. If you're here this morning, you need to obey the gospel. Why don't you come now while we stand and sing this song?